I just want to thank our Alive Worship. Is that your name? Alive Worship? Sitting at the back there. They were so incredibly blessed, Albert and Mel and Mom. It was amazing. Really, it was spectacular. I'd like to start this morning by basically reading out a story I recently came across. It's about Billy Graham. Can you hear me okay on this? Does everyone hear me? Okay. Several years ago, Billy Graham was speaking to a group of clergy in London, England, and he was asked a question. This is the question they asked Billy Graham. If you had your ministry to do all over again, what would you change? People looked very startled and surprised. What could the most successful evangelist of our modern times change? What could he possibly change? Billy Graham said this. If he were to redo his ministry, he would study three times as much as he had done. He would study three times as much as he would had done. And he would give much, much more time to prayer. Much more time to prayer. This month is June. June is prayer month. As Kat has been explaining, there are a couple of initiatives that are going on in this town, in this church, and on this globe. We're actually in day 4 of day 10 of the 10 days running up to the Global Day of Prayer. And as Kat already mentioned, and I'm going to mention it again, this Wednesday we've got joint small group. Now don't use it as an excuse for those of you who are regular small group attendees. Don't use it as an excuse to have a night off. This is really, really important. And if praying for revival in this town and in this globe for the Lord's kingdom to come isn't enough for you, come for Eunice's delicious, delicious winter soup, served with hot rolls and farm-made butter. So I urge you, please, please join us. Please support us. And next Sunday, as Kat also mentioned, we're going to Lord's Acre Mission. It's a church in Groendel. I know a lot of you already know it. They've got the same heart as us. They've got the same heart as us. And I would like to support them. They support us. They supported us the last time we had a free worship evening. So I think it's only fair for us to join them. But basically, it's your call. It's not mine. It's your call. And that actually brings me to the title of my message today, which is, It's Your Call. Now, it's a message that I was working on, and there was so much to say about it, and it's such a big area that I'm actually doing a series on it, but my series is only 2, so you don't have to, a double sermon, not a series. So this week, we're going to start with the first one, It's My Call. And I'm referring to a different type of call where I said to you earlier, it's your call whether you come to church or not. I'm starting with an amazing, amazing scripture, a very beautiful scripture, a very simple scripture. I love the scripture, and I love the way the Message Bible puts it. So I'm going to read you from the Message translation, Jeremiah 33:3, and it reads as follows: Call to me, and I will answer you. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. That's amazing. God is saying, call to me, and I'm going to answer you. Wow. It's your call. Love that scripture, man. Another thing I love is statistics and numbers. Now, I don't know if any of you read the Time magazine. There's a section in there called World by Numbers. It's one of my favorite sections. It gives you random facts and figures, and I'm going to share some of them with you. They are random. They have nothing to do with my message, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. 118 million. This is the increase of India's population over the last 10 years. According to the latest census, India is on pace to eclipse China's population by 2030. India has the highest birth rate on the planet, 31 babies per minute. That is 44,640 babies born every day. That's like a rugby stadium of babies every single day in India. The death rate is 8.35 million per year. And the Christian population is 2%. So Yanni, who loves figures, facts, and numbers, what does this mean to us? It means 23,000 people die every day without knowing Christ. I love statistics. So Billy Graham, the greatest modern evangelist that we know, what would he redo in his ministry? He would study more and he would pray much, much more. I wanted to find out how much we are currently praying. So how much do we pray? I found it very interesting to discover the following facts. And there's one country that loves statistics more than me, and that's the Americans. You can find statistics on absolutely anything. So the statistics I'm about to show you are American statistics. What do you think the percentage of Americans that pray once a week is? Well, 78% of Americans pray once a week. I think that's pretty high. 57% of Americans pray every single day, at least once a day. 91% of women, go women. 91% of women pray occasionally, and 85% of men pray at least occasionally. Look, I'm not sure what you're expecting, but for me, those statistics are actually higher than I thought. And it raises a question for me, though. If there's all this praying going on, how effective is this prayer? In fact, let me rephrase that. How effective is your prayer? Nobody who has ever lived knew more about praying than our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody. In Matthew 6, 5 to 8, verses 5 to 8, Jesus tells us how we can connect with God every time we pray. Not sometimes, but every time we pray. We live in a telecommunication society and culture. All of us, if we don't have the cell phone in the pocket, we've got a landline, we've got SMS, it's a telecommunications society. So in everyday language, what Jesus is trying to explain to us, he's literally saying, how do we make that call to heaven? How do we make that call to heaven? Read with me. It's up on the screen. Matthew 6, 5 to 8. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone else can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. Wow. I'd like you to notice this first thing. Jesus is talking here. He takes it for granted that we are going to pray. Verse 5, He says, when you pray. Not if you pray. Verse 6, He says, when you pray. Not if you pray. Verse 7, He says, when you pray. Not if you pray. I hope you see. I hope you see what Jesus is trying to tell us here. He's taking it for granted that we are going to pray. In these scriptures, He's trying to show us where we should pray, what we should pray, and how we should pray. Now, I'd like to discuss the what, the where, and the how of effective prayer using the three S's of prayer that Jesus teaches us. The three S's. S number one, pray secretly. S number two, sincerely. Pray sincerely. S number three, systematically. Pray systematically. So the first S of effective prayer is secretly. Pray secretly. This is the first piece of advice that Jesus gives us. And I'm going to repeat verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. The word hypocrite, if you look it up in the Greek word, means actor. Don't act. Don't pretend. Don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. You need to understand what Jesus was referring to here. The Pharisees were really strategic about where they prayed. You have to understand that every day there was sacrificial worship done at the temple. When the sacrifices were finished, a trumpet would blow. Wherever you were, you would stop. Whatever you were doing, whoever you were, you would stop what you were doing. You would turn towards the temple and you would pray. Now, the Pharisees who loved to show off their religion, their holiness, their spirituality, made sure that they were in the most public place just before the sound of the trumpet. So as the trumpet went, they would be in a busy place, on a street corner, in the middle of a market, showing off their spirituality. But please, please understand what I'm saying here. Understand what Jesus is saying here. He is not condemning public prayer. No. The Bible is full of examples of public prayer. Jesus prayed publicly while he was crucified to the cross. The famous day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, was in a public prayer meeting. Prayer ought to be part of every corporate worship event. Every service that we have, prayer should be paramount. Prayer should be paramount in your lives. So I'm going to punt it again. Wednesday the 8th, join small group right here in this church, in this building. So Jesus was not condemning public prayer. He was condemning the desire to be seen praying in public. It's a big difference. Real prayer, real attention-getting prayer, God-honoring prayer, Spirit-answered prayer is prayed in secret. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. You know why the secret place is so important to God? Do you know why the secret place is so important to God? It's because when you're in that closet, that prayer closet, when you're in that secret place, there's no applause. There's no clapping for your performance. There's no claim. There's no people telling you how great you are at praying. There are no awards. There's no trophies. There's no plaques. There's nothing telling you on your skill on praying. When you're in that secret place, it's just God. It's just God. And that's the way God wants it to be. Just you and Him. Just you and Him. I was reading about a certain West African village where the Christians had no privacy to pray in their own huts because they were so close together and there were so many people that lived in the hut. So every Christian would go off into the bush behind his hut to have quiet time, prayer time. After a while, there'd be a worn track from the hut to the place of prayer. If it ever happened that the track would become overgrown with weeds and grass because it was not being used, another Christian would come to keep his fellow believer accountable and say, "Brother, is there something wrong with your prayer track?" Let me ask you that question today. Brothers and sisters, is there something wrong with your prayer track? Is it overgrown with grass and weeds because you're not making that trip every day to that secret place to spend quiet time with our God, our Father? The next time you pray, ask yourself this: do I pray more frequently and more fervently when I'm alone with God, or when I'm in public? Am I praying to God, or am I performing for others? Do not make a mistake. Your public praying can never replace your private, secret prayers. Your spirit needs that quiet, intimate time with God, your daily quiet time. What are you doing with yours? It's your call. So we have S number one, pray in secret. Pray in secret. S number two, pray sincerely. Now Jesus goes a step further, not only telling us where to pray in secret, but what to pray, or actually what not to pray. So verse 7 says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Jesus is talking about rote prayer here, but going by the numbers, you know, using the same old phrases, the same old cliches, maybe even copying what you've heard other people pray, but not praying it from your heart. I went to Nepal many years ago, and the Buddhists have these weird things. They're called prayer wheels. They're all along the temples. They're these different prayer wheels. They're lined all the way along. And on the actual prayer wheel is a prayer. I can't tell you what it says because I can't read Sanskrit or whatever it is that's written in. And the Buddhist monks and tourists like me would come along and you roll the prayers, hoping that the prayer on the prayer wheel would go up into the universe and you believe that it does something good for you. They also had these pretty funky things you could take home with you. I don't know whether it was a tourist thing or whether they actually used them in the temple, but basically it's a little stick. And the stick has this little revolving mechanism on top. And if you open it up inside, there's this long, thin strip of paper with a prayer written on it, but you close it and you spin it. And each time you spin it, it's an indication that you're sending that prayer up into the heavens. Other people use rosaries, prayer beads. I'm sure you've seen some of them. They say the same prayer over and over and over and over and over again. The Lord Jesus tells us this is not the kind of prayer that God wants. It's not the kind of prayer that gets His attention. Mm-mm. James 5:16b says the following, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from you. He wants you to speak from your heart. He wants you to speak from what's on your mind. He wants to hear your effective fervent prayers. That's what He wants. He wants to know what's really going on in your life. He wants to know what's really burdening your heart. He knows it anyway. I'll come back to that. Don't beat around the bush with God. You can't lie to Him. It's like trying to lie to yourself. It's impossible. Be open and honest with Him. After all, Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, don't be like them, referring to the hypocrites, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Some of you may say, well, if God already knows what my sin is, and He already knows what my needs are, then why do I need to pray and ask Him about it? God never wants to take away our free will. If you want to live in sin and rebellion against God, He's going to let you. If you want to take care of your own problems without God, He's going to let you. If you want to be right with God, all you have to do is ask Him. James tells us in 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. Here is what some of the heavy hitters in Christ have to say about prayer. And listen to what they're saying. I mean, I've actually got them up on the screen. John Bunyan, one of the great Christians, said, when you pray, it would be better to let your heart be without words than let your words be without heart. From the heart. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers, said this, the prayer of the heart is the heart of prayer. Someone anonymous, I couldn't find who it was, said this, and I love it. God does not respect the arithmetic of our prayers. It's not how much we say. God does not respect the rhetoric of our prayers. It is not how eloquent we say it. God does not respect the logic of our prayers. It's not how methodical our prayer might be. God respects the sincerity of our prayers and how heartfelt they are. My brothers and sisters, take this away from this morning's service. The praying that God hears, the singing that God hears, the preaching that God hears, is not what comes out of your lips, but what comes out of your heart. Okay, so we've covered 1 S secretly, 2 S's sincerely. Now for the final S, pray systematically. Prayer is our greatest privilege. Do you realize that? It's not meant to be a burden. It's not meant to be a chore. It's not meant to be something mundane that we don't like to do. It's a time where we exercise communication with God. We exercise communication with God. We experience communion with Him. That is a oneness with Him. And we can enjoy His company, His companionship. We ought to get excited about prayer. It should be our greatest passion. Prayer should be our greatest passion. Just think about it. Out of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, what did He ask? What did they ask Jesus to teach them? Have you ever thought about this? Peter never went up to Jesus and said, "Hey, I like that trick, walking on water. Won't you teach me that?" Nuh-uh. James and John, they never brought a fish and a loaf of bread to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, we're having this big family dinner this weekend. Maybe you can teach us that gig you did on the hill the other day, feeding those 5,000 people." Mm-mm. The disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years and saw so many miracles, miracles that changed their lives. They witnessed so many miraculous things, but they never went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, how do you change water into wine? Jesus, teach us how to stop storms. These are amazing things." They never went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, teach us how to heal the sick." Or, "Jesus, teach us how to raise the dead." In Luke 11:1, the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus responded by giving them, in less than 70 words, a masterpiece of the mind and heart of God. Now, some of you know it as the Lord's Prayer. I'd like to rename that this morning as the Disciples' Prayer. The Lord Jesus never had to pray that prayer. He didn't have to ask for forgiveness. He was without sin. So this prayer is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Disciples' Prayer. This is a prayer for you and me. Now, unfortunately, over time, it's been popular among certain groups to recite this prayer at certain events when they get together. The problem is, this prayer was never meant to be recited. It was a pattern that Jesus was trying to show them to follow. There's a pattern in the disciples' prayer that Jesus is trying to highlight. There's a big difference between saying a prayer and praying a prayer. Big difference. We are not just to say prayers. We are to pray them. Now, as I said, Jesus never meant the disciples' prayer or the Lord's Prayer to be perfectly memorized. That wasn't His intention. However, it is a beautifully simple prayer. It is beautifully simple. And I want to take you through 4 parts of it. I know we're in our third S. This is the third and final S: secret, sincerity, and systematic. In the systematic prayers, there are 4 P's, and I promise to go quick. I won't hold you long. The 4 P's. The first P starts with praise. Matthew 6:9-10. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." With praise, we need to remember who we're talking to. This is our Father, a personal Father. We are meant to come to God as a child, like a child comes to their father. That is how we are meant to come to God. But we're also meant to focus on respecting the Father. Just like your earthly father demands your respect, our heavenly Father demands respect. The first purpose of prayer is to lift up God's name, to magnify His name, to exalt His name, to bless His name. We are to praise and glorify God for who He is. For who He is: great, mighty, loving, gracious, masterful, merciful. That's the God He is. That's the God He is. And when we focus on the Father, you will want to focus on the Father's will. You see, prayer is not about getting what you want. It's about getting what God wants. It's not telling God what's on your mind, but it's about finding out what's on His mind. The purpose of prayer is not to get God in line with your will, but to get in line with His will. So you start with praise. Second P, share your petition. Matthew 6:11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Petitions are the things that you have on your heart, whatever they are. Nothing is out of order for God. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." But we must remember, when Jesus prayed this prayer, as an example for us to follow, bread represented survival in Middle Eastern biblical times. It represented needs. God does not say He will give us all that we want. He says He will give us all that we need. All that we need. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." A wise father is not a father that gives his children everything, everything they want, but rather everything that they need. Whatever you need, bring it before the Lord. He is faithful. Third P, seek God's pardon. Forgive us our debts as we are forgiven our debtors. We need to pray two things. You cannot come to God with a heavy heart. We need to ask for forgiveness. Remember, the sin in your heart makes your prayer very leaky. Very leaky. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I hide iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If you're hiding stuff in your heart or trying to hide it from Him, because you can't really hide it from Him, the Lord will not hear you. But not only are we to ask for forgiveness, we are meant to give forgiveness. Matthew 6:14, 15 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." There can be no worship towards heaven if there's no fellowship sideways. If you have a problem with your brothers or your sisters, you need to make it right with them before you come and make right with God. You cannot expect forgiveness from our Father if you do not give out forgiveness. That is why we must seek God's pardon. The last and fourth P, secure God's power. Matthew 6:13 says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Our desire should be to avoid temptation. Often Christians play around with sin. They play around with sin, and as the old saying goes, you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. You play with bees, you're going to get stung. Too often, the average Christian spends a huge portion of their life confessing to God the same old sin over and over and over again. We need to be doing less time confessing the same old sins, and as Jesus shows us here, praying more for deliverance of those sins. You cannot do that in your own strength. You can only do that with God's help. So we have the S and P's of prayer, of effective prayer. Pray in secret. Pray sincerely. And pray systematically. And in the systematic, we've got those four P's. Praise, petition, pardon, and power. This morning I've dealt with a very small section of Matthew chapter 6. Very small section of it. But if you read the whole of Matthew 6, there's a theme that runs through. And the theme is hypocrisy. The theme is hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 6. If you go to the first four verses, basically Jesus is saying, don't be hypocritical in your giving. If you go to verses 16 to 18, he's saying, don't be hypocritical in your fasting. I've spent the last 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes. Jesus is saying, don't be hypocritical in your praying. Then a little bit later in Matthew 15, 7 to 9, Jesus quotes some Old Testament scripture to explain what is happening around him at that time and is happening around the church at this modern time. This is what he says. Hypocrites, remember, actors, pretenders, hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying this. These people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Put simply, Jesus is saying, don't be hypocritical where you pray, what you pray, and why you pray. In basic summary, we cannot say "ow" when we are not in fellowship with other Christians. We cannot say "Father" if we do not demonstrate this relationship in our daily lives. We cannot say "in heaven" when we are so preoccupied with earth that we never think of heaven. We cannot say "hallowed be your name" if we do not, by holy living, exalt his name. We cannot say "your kingdom come" if we are not doing all in our power to the hastening of that coming. We cannot say "your will be done" if we are not obedient to the will of God in our lives. We cannot say "on earth as it is in heaven" if we are not prepared to give our life on this earth as well as heaven. We cannot say "give us our daily bread" if we are not trusting him for our every need. We cannot say "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors" if we harbor a grudge against our brothers and sisters. We cannot say "do not lead us into temptation" when we deliberately place ourselves in a position to be tempted. We cannot say "deliver us from the evil one" when we are not prepared to fight evil. We are not prepared to fight evil in the spiritual realm with the weapon of prayer. But if you are willing to pray that prayer, but if you're willing to pray that type of prayer and mean it, but not just with your words, mean it with your heart, mean it with the way that you walk with Jesus on a daily basis, my brothers and sisters, prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. You must pray. It's the lifeline for your spirit. You need to communicate with your Father. And the communication is two ways. It's your call. It's your call. Holy Father, this morning we come to you to ask for your covenant, to remind us of the covenant that you've already given us, Lord. Father, this bread and this wine, Lord, you've given to us to remember your Son. And Lord, it is your Son Jesus who connects us back with you, Lord. It is through the Son that we can come to our Father, a personal dad, Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father, we come this morning as your children, Lord, to ask that you open up our hearts and our spirits, Lord. Lord, I know there are so many of us, Lord, whose prayer paths, whose prayer tracks are overgrown with grass and weeds because we are not coming to that secret place, that quiet place, that place of intimacy with you, Lord, where it's just you and us. Father, I thank you that this is not by power or by might we request, Lord, but we trust the Holy Spirit, Lord, just to open up our hearts this day, Lord, to give us a deep desire to spend time with you, Lord, to sit in your presence, to come and communicate with you, Lord. Father, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can come so boldly to ask this, Lord, to ask that the Creator of all things is so interested in us, in you. You are so interested in us personally, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that you will clear out the cobwebs in our prayer closet, Lord. You will give us the sword of the word, Lord, to clear a path back down that prayer track. Father, give us an excitement for prayer, Lord. For Lord, there is nothing that happens without prayer. And Lord, I just want to encourage the intercessors and the prayer warriors, not only in this church, Lord, but in this valley and in this country, Lord, and across the globe. We just encourage them this day, Lord. We encourage them to continue to pray for those who are struggling to pray, Lord. To pray that their hearts of the people whose hearts have been closed for so long reopen, Lord. I just thank you, Father. I thank you that you are starting a mighty work. You've already started a mighty work in this church and in this valley, Lord. And you are faithful, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about our faithfulness, Lord. It's about how faithful you are. So this day, Lord, I pray, but by your Spirit, Lord, that this week, as we go, Lord, I declare into the spiritual realm in the name of Jesus Christ, our King and Savior, I declare and ask my Father, my Papa, that every one of your children in this room, Lord, as they come to you this week, Father, as they come to you in that secret place, as they come to you in sincerity, Lord, sharing the burdens of their heart, Lord, sharing the burdens of their life with you, Lord, that you will be faithful to come and touch them, Lord, to come and speak to them, Lord, to come and encourage them, Lord, to come and heal them, Lord, to come and restore them, Lord, to come and give everything that they need, Lord, everything that they need, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you will supernaturally, Lord, just download your will for them in their lives. So we thank you, Lord, that this will become a mighty praying church, Lord. And we shall see the gates of hell shake because of our prayers in the name of your Son. So, Lord Jesus, we just declare this very morning, Lord. We declare you as Lord and Sovereign Savior, the name above all names, the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord and Savior, Lord. So we remember your broken body as we eat this bread. And we remember your blood that flowed freely from the cross for our sin and iniquity. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your Son who taught us to pray, taught us to love, taught us to forgive, taught us grace. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just want to encourage you that if you are ill in your body, if you're sick in your body, just receive your healing, you know. Break that bread and speak that life receive it. Jesus gave it. It is done. It is finished. Amen. We're just going to continue in this atmosphere, and the ushers are going to take up the offering. And then there's a couple of people. Last weekend, Yanni and I went to a wedding in Darling, and it was really fabulous. And it was so beautiful. This couple's actually in this church. They'll be back next week. Jenilyn and Hein, they new here. But we're going to be seeing a lot more of them now that they're married. It was really beautiful, this wedding, in that they gave all honor to God. But they also did something quite amazing. They honored their elders. They honored their parents. It was very unusual. I've never seen it done at a wedding. They got their brothers and sisters to get up and speak about their parents and speak about their marriage and what their marriage meant to them. And then they themselves got up and spoke about it. And it was amazing. I felt God's blessing. I mean, I felt God's pleased, you know, with his children. So I want to encourage you today to honor your parents. The Bible actually, it's one of the commands that comes with a blessing. It comes with a condition. If you honor your parents, you'll have long life. I know a lot of you have been through a hard time with your parents, but you know, the Bible says we forgive, we walk in healing. But today, I actually want to honor two of our elders. We want to celebrate them because we found out that they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. You know, guys, I don't know what this means to you, but to me, their lives bless me so much. They live out loud. They really, their marriage blesses us. Guys, your marriage blesses us. Your lives bless us. So if you could just come up here a moment so we can pray for you. Rosita just wants to also say something quickly. Check, they're even wearing matching jerseys.
Delester, you didn't think this was going to be public knowledge. 50 years. And of those 50 years, we've been friends 29, 28. And truly indeed, what Kat was just saying, you walk the walk. And we have ever indeed been, like Kat, blessed. Our family is far away, but this was always our close family. Where our marriages, weddings, any celebration, we were called in. We were part of their little family. So they are very dear and near to our heart. And if you need any advice, I can give you the secret, but they can give it to you in detail, because I know one thing for sure, that their marriage has been built on the one and only rock, the foundation, the truth. And don't think they haven't had storms or temptations and trials and all that. Bringing 6 children up in a godly way. Well, I always thought if I had to give a crown to anyone, it would go here on those 2, a crown for everyone to see. They did a marvelous job. And truly, and may the Lord continue to bless you and use you and abundantly in every area.
Okay. Can you just reach out your hands so we can pray? and just honor them and bless them.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We are so privileged to have in this house, your house, this amazing man and woman of God, Lord, mighty in the Spirit, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for, as Rosita has shared and Kat has shared, Lord, for the example that they are in our community, Lord. Not only in this church, Lord, but they have a far-reaching effect in this entire community, Lord. They have been pillars in this town for so long, Lord. People look to them for wisdom, Lord. People look to them for so many things, Lord. But when they go to speak to them, they always find Christ, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that your word, Lord Jesus, will be a lamp unto their feet at all times, Lord. At all times, Lord. We just want to honor them this day, Lord. We want to lift them up before you and thank you, Lord, for what you've done in their lives so far. And Lord, what you're still doing and what you've still got to do, Lord. Father, you are so faithful. You are so faithful, Lord. And I know, Lord, that you will open up doors that no man can open and shut the doors that no man can shut. So we just honor them this day, Lord. We honor them as mother and father to 6 children, Lord, as husband and wife for 50 years, Father. That's more than most of us in this room have been alive, Lord. So, Father, we just treasure them and cherish them this day, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you. And we just, Lord, and we just want to tell Johnny and Delesti, Lord, that we love them, Lord. And we appreciate them. And they mean so much to us. Their fellowship, their wisdom, their kind words, their encouragement, their guidance. Lord, continue to bless them, Lord. Bless their marriage. I pray the blood of Jesus over their marriage for another 50 years, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit binds them tightly in love, Lord. They are as love today as they were 50 years ago, Father. Lord, you could see the love in their eyes for each other, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We thank you that you continue to bless them in so many ways. Amen. Amen. I just like Albert and Mel, can you just give us a few minutes? I'd just like them to share with us just their vision and a little bit about themselves.
Can you just reach out your hands? Let's pray for them. I just want to tell you something as well. Mel actually had a sore throat this morning. She came here with like laryngitis. And we prayed this morning. She said, I'm just going to step out in faith. So let me just tell you, the girl sang in faith this morning and the Lord blessed us through it. Can you just come? Can you reach out your hands, please? Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful couple, Lord. I thank you for their lives, God, that honor you, my God. I thank you that they hunger after you, God. They hunger for more intimacy, Lord. And I know that you are going to take them in, Lord. You're going to keep taking them in deeper and deeper, Lord. And you will show them the mysteries of your love, God, of your fatherhood, your healing power, your power, Lord. I know that you will give them power, God. Father, I thank you that you go before them, Lord. That you come after them. Lord, I pray that you will seat them with kings and priests, with princes. You will seat them, Lord, at tables of such high profile, Lord, but they will never be afraid because they know who sends them, Lord. Lord, they walk in the shadow of your wings. I just thank you, Father, for your comfort, that you meet every need according to your riches and glory because you are mighty. You will never leave them or forsake them, God. I thank you for your anointing on their lives, God. I thank you for your anointing on the gifts that you've given them, Lord.
Lord, I just see a vision for Albert and Mel, Lord. I know it's going to sound a little bit strange, Lord, but it's like they are a match. And they light up a Blitz firelighter. And this firelighter obviously burns bright and burns hot. And I see people coming with sticks and with branches to light off this fire that they have started, Lord. And this light gets taken back to people's homes, taken back to people's villages, taken back to people's place of worship, taken back to place of work, Lord. So I thank you, Father God, that you are using them to strike a match, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that they are obedient to you and you bless that obedience, Father. We just want to protect them, Lord. We want to protect them with the name of Jesus Christ. And we just want to release them into their newfound ministry, their newfound calling, Lord. You have called them, Father. They have stepped out in faith. They are willing, Lord, and you will give them everything they need to succeed and to grow closer to you and to share the love and light of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.